Chapter 11. Old Village. The next day was fine, just as Joe had said. It was so fine that the children could hardly believe there had been such a storm. But how hungry they were. "No breakfast today," Joe called in a loud voice. "Think you can take it?" "Oh, sure," said Benny. "But I hope we can have some dinner." "Well, I think we can," said Joe. "We can surely find something to eat when we get to Old Village."
"That's where we'll find Bill," said Benny happily.
Henry and Alice started with a will to take down the tents. Violet and Benny began to roll up their blankets, but Joe did nothing. He sat down on a log and seemed to be thinking. This was not like Joe at all. "Let him alone," said Alice quietly to the children. "Just go on packing. He'll soon help, too." But Joe didn't begin to pack. Instead, he called them all to stop packing and come to him for a minute. "I want you all to understand why I took you way up here," he said. "Maybe for nothing. Benny just said that's where we'll find Bill. Now, I don't really think we will find Bill. I never thought so. I think Bill must have died long ago. The boss at the lumber camp had never heard of him. Mr. Long and Mr. Hill hadn't either, and they both have been around here many years." Joe stopped and smiled at Benny. Then he went on, "I don't really think we'll find the tin box either."
"Why are you telling us all this, Joe?" asked Violet in her gentle voice. "Are you afraid we'll be disappointed?"
"You're exactly right," said Joe quickly. He looked at his little cousin. "I don't want you to be disappointed because you can't solve the mystery. When we get to Old Village, I don't know what to do next. I thought maybe we might get a clue to the tin box, but we may not."
"I don't care, Joe," shouted Benny. "I've had enough fun just camping, even if we don't find Bill."
"Oh, yes, we've all had fun, Joe," Jesse broke in.
Joe's face brightened.
"Did you really?" he asked. "Even if we don't find a thing?"
"I hope so. That's why I brought you so far. I thought we'd have fun anyway."
"Don't you worry any more, Joe," said Henry. "Camping is the thing we like to do best in the world. It makes us think of boxcar days and last summer on Surprise Island. But you don't mind if we still look for clues, do you?"
"Mind? No," said Joe. "I expect to look for clues myself. Just don't be disappointed, that's all."
Then Joe hurried around and began to pack with a will. This time the children were glad to see a smile on his face. "We'll paddle faster today," he told them, "because we are so hungry. We can't see Old Village from here because the lake turns, but we ought to get there by noon."
Into the canoes went the things again, and into the canoes went the six people. Off they went on the last part of their long journey. They paddled for a long time.
All at once, Benny asked, "Joe, what would happen if I put a great ghost fly on a line and threw it in the water behind the canoe?"
"Well," answered Joe, smiling, "you might lose your rod, and then again, you might catch a fish." He was delighted to give Benny something to do. Then the boy would not feel so hungry.
"I'm going to try it," said Benny.
This time he put on the fly right. Then he threw the line out behind the canoe.
"What are you trying to do, break your rod?" shouted Henry from the other canoe.
"No," called Benny, "I'm fishing."
On they went. Benny watched his line for a while. Suddenly Henry shouted, "There goes your rod." Benny jumped and caught it just as it was about to slide out of the canoe.
"Boy, you've got a big one," cried Joe, stopping to look back. "Pull him in slowly, Ben. Don't you lose him. Don't get excited, whatever you do."
Violet smiled. Joe was as excited as Benny. How the big fish did fight to get away. But Benny played him carefully and slowly brought him to the side of the canoe.
"Want me to help, young fellow?" asked Joe.
"Please," said Benny. He was afraid he would lose the big fish.
Joe leaned out and pulled it quickly into the canoe. "A big lake trout, and a beauty," he cried. "He will feed us all. Too bad you didn't catch him yesterday."
"Isn't that always the way?" cried Benny. "We starved yesterday, and now just as we get near a store, we catch a fish."
"Never mind," said Joe. "We'll eat him yet."
He took up his paddle again. It was almost noon when they went around the last look. Then they could see a road that came right down to the beach from Old Village.
"Here we are at the end of Bear Trail," Alice said, laughing, "and we have found neither a clue nor Bill. Joe, aren't you excited now?"
"Excited?
Yes, I am," said Joe.
"I'm hungry, too.
Look ahead at the beach. See that man waiting to meet us? Someone always meets canoes."
Joe and Henry paddled faster without knowing it. Soon the canoes slid up on the beach. The man helped pull up the canoes.
"Hello, strangers," he said. "Taking the Bear Trail trip?"
"Yes," said Joe. "Right now we are looking for some place to eat. These children are almost starved. Is there any place to eat in Old Village?"
"Yes, sir," said the man. "I run it myself. I call it Jim's Place. I'm Jim Carr. I'll cook you anything you want. Bacon, ham, deer, hamburger."
"Oh, hamburger!" yelled Benny. "I want hamburger!"
"So do I," laughed Jesse.
Jim laughed, too.
"Leave your things," he said. "Nobody will take them. My place is right up on the road."
The children saw it at once. There was a board over the door saying in black letters, "Jim's Place." They all walked down the road toward it.
"I suppose most of the campers eat with you," asked Joe.
"Right," said Jim. "They stay overnight sometimes. Then they go back to Mr. Long's store by road."
"We may do that," said Joe. Jim's Place was the biggest house in Old Village. As they went in, they looked around. Everything was very clean. There were three tables and a delicious smell of onions in the air.
"I won't be long," said Jim. "Sit down and make yourselves at home. Hamburger and onions and potatoes for everybody."
They sat down and looked at each other. They could hardly wait. Soon Jim came in with big white plates filled with hot food.
"Eat all you want," he said. "More in the kitchen. I just made two big apple pies. Maybe I can find some cheese to go with it."
Everyone began to eat. Never did food seem so good to the hungry children.
"You see, we didn't have any breakfast," Benny said to Jim.
Jim laughed.
"That's really true," said Joe. "We got caught in the rain and lost most of our food."
"Too bad," said Jim.
He went into the kitchen to get a pie. Soon a whole pie had disappeared, and also some fine yellow cheese he had found.
"Oh, I do feel better," cried Violet. "I'm ready for anything."
"Glad to hear that," said Henry, looking at her. "You do look a little better."
Then Alice said to Joe, "We ought to stay in Old Village for one night anyway. I think Violet ought to sleep in a bed in a house."
"You can do that all right," answered Jim Carr with a laugh. "You see that little old house across the street? I don't really own it, but I take care of it. It has been empty for many years. When campers want to stay overnight, I let them use it. I bought a lot of folding cots. The campers don't seem to mind sleeping three in a room."
Jessie stopped to count.
"We wouldn't either," she said.
"Right," said Alice with a smile at Jessie. "You and Violet and I in one room, and Joe and Henry and Benny in another."
"There are two rooms," said Jim. "Three with the kitchen."
Henry said, "My, everything is working out well, isn't it, Joe?"
"Is there anything interesting to see in Old Village, Jim?"
"Oh, yes," said Jim, smiling. "Some people go hunting for deer and moose. Then there's an old hermit over in the woods, lives all alone. People like to catch sight of him. He looks so queer with his long white beard. Then there are Indians up the road. They make baskets to sell. People always go and watch them make baskets when they stop over."
"Oh, let's go up and see the Indians," said Jesse. "Do they mind? Are they old?"
"No, they don't mind. They like it."
"Yes, one of them is very old. He has lived there all his life. Loves to talk."
"Oh, hum," said Benny, looking at Henry.
That's what I say, too, said Henry softly to Benny. You mean the old Indian might give us a clue?
Maybe, said Benny, smiling to himself.
Henry paid for their dinner, and they all went off up the road.
Joe, began Jesse excitedly, maybe this old Indian has heard of Bill long ago. We can ask him.
Soon they could see an Indian girl sitting on the steps of an old house making a basket.
My, doesn't she work fast, said Alice. See her fingers fly?
I wish I could learn to do that, said Violet.
You can. I will teach you, said the Indian girl who had heard every word. It is not hard at all. See, I have just started this basket. See, I go in and out, over and under, with this sweet grass.
The girl worked slowly so that Violet could see what she did. Soon she held out the basket.
You try it now, she said.
Violet took the basket, and soon her clever fingers were going in and out, over and under, just as the Indian girl had done.
Wonderful, Violet, said Alice. You can do anything with your fingers.
Yes, she can, said Henry, smiling. Then he thought surely Benny would say something about his sister Violet, as he always did. He looked around, but Benny was nowhere to be seen.
Oh, where is Benny? He called.
Benny! Benny! Shouted Joe as loud as he could. But there was no answer. Benny had disappeared. Chapter 12. A Hunt for Benny. It was true. Benny was not there.
Oh, what has happened to Benny? Said Jesse, beginning to cry.
Now, don't let's get upset, said Joe's strong voice. I think I know what has happened. Benny has gone off by himself to find the hermit. He hasn't been gone long, and we can surely find him. Don't you cry, Jesse. We'll go and hunt for him.
Wouldn't we save time by asking Jim? Asked Henry.
Right, said Joe. With that, they all ran back to Jim's place. Jim came to the door when he saw them running toward him.
We've lost Benny, cried Jesse. You know which way to hunt, don't you? We think he went to find the hermit and surprise us.
Well now, said Jim, the first thing, don't you get scared. We've got Indians here in Old Village that can find anything in these woods. The little boy hasn't been gone long. Did you ask the little Indian girl to help you?
Oh, dear, said Violet. I forgot all about the Indian girl. I just dropped the basket and ran. We all did.
Better go back then, said Jim. I'll go with you. Rita is a better guide than I am. She can walk in the woods and never make a sound.
When Jim told Rita, she stood up at once and looked sharply into the woods.
I saw the little boy at first, she said, but I did not notice when he went.
I'm very sorry. We'll start this way.
Rita leaned over and looked at a bush.
Yes, I think he went down this path. Keep right behind me. It is easy to get lost in these woods if you get off the path. It was a strange sight. 6 people walking behind the Indian girl in a straight line down the path. Sometimes it seemed as if there were no path at all. Jesse walked just behind Rita. Soon she said, Rita, Benny would never know this was a path. He may have gone off it long ago.
No, he couldn't, a little boy like that, said Rita. He couldn't get through. This is the only way he could go. He went this way, all right. I can see where he stepped, and this is the way to the old hermit's cabin. On they went, over rocks and stones and branches.
Now call him, said Rita, turning around.
Henry put his hands up like a cup and called, Benny! Then Joe did the same. They all listened. There was no answer.
We'll find him just the same, said Rita, shaking her head. If I can't, my father can. They all hurried on. For a long time, they walked without talking. Suddenly, the Indian girl stopped. Be careful now, she said. We are near the hermit's cabin. If we scare him, the hermit will run away, and then he won't help us. Slowly and quietly, they all walked along the path. Then all at once they saw the cabin. They stopped. For on the steps sat an old man with a long white beard. Beside him, smiling and talking away happily, sat Benny.
Oh, Benny, whispered Jesse.
Shh, said Rita. But the hermit had seen them. Come, he said to Benny, taking his hand. You are lost. Jesse could not wait. She cried out, Oh, Benny, you scared us so! With that, everyone began to talk to Benny, so nobody could understand a word. The hermit is nice, said Benny, when he could make them hear. He was going to take me back when I got ready to go. His name is Dave Hunter.
That's right, said Jim. His name is Dave Hunter.
But the hermit surprised them all by turning his back. He went straight back to his cabin, went in, and shut the door.
That's the way he is, said Jim. He won't talk.
He talked to me, said Benny.
Most anyone would talk to you, little boy, said Jim with a smile. Dave won't come out again, so we might as well go back.
Rita led the way back, and Henry put Benny right in front of him, where he could watch him all the way. As they walked along, Jim said,
You people might as well stay overnight. You can cook your own trout.
I think we must stay, said Alice. Violet needs a good night's sleep after that scare.
We all do. At the village again, they stopped to say goodbye to Rita. Henry put some money into her hand. We'll see you again about the basket, Rita, he said. We were all upset about Benny.
I understand, said Rita with a smile. I wouldn't like to lose Benny myself.
When they reached the little house, Jim said,
You can stay here as long as you want. Walk right in. If you want anything, come over and ask me. Maybe I'll have it.
With that, he left them to go into the house alone. They went up the front steps. Henry pushed open the door and they all went in. They found a small room with a fireplace. There were a few chairs and some folding cots leaning against the wall. There was one big chest of drawers. Alice and Jesse soon found the next room, which was a bedroom. Then they found the kitchen.
There isn't any upstairs, called Benny. Just downstairs.
Oh, Violet, cried Jesse. Do look at this dear little kitchen stove. I wish we could get our own supper.
Jim said the campers do keep house here, said Alice.
And think of Benny's big trout. It would be fun to cook it ourselves.
Doesn't this make you think of keeping house on Surprise Island, cried Henry.
We'll need wood for the stove and some potatoes to go with our fish. I'll go over and ask Jim to sell us some.
I will go with you, said Benny.
Right, said Henry, so you won't get out of my sight.
I really didn't mean to, said Benny. I was coming right back. I wanted to surprise you and find the hermit first. He said I ought to go right back and he would take me himself. He likes to live alone.
Joe began to set up the cots.
How's this, Violet? He said. You three girls take the bedroom. I'll put three cots up for you. Then we three men will sleep in the living room.
That's wonderful, Joe, said Violet.
But let's make our own beds with our blanket rolls. We love to make beds.
Well, I don't, said Joe. I'll certainly let you make mine. I'll just set up the cots.
The afternoon was passing quickly away. Benny soon came back with the fish and potatoes. Henry carried a big basket of wood.
Nice, dry wood, he laughed.
Benny said, I never thought I would just love dry wood.
Then they went out again to the canoes and brought up the packs. Soon Jesse and Alice had a fine fire going in the stove, while Violet got the potatoes ready. "I think we'll eat in the kitchen," said Henry, looking around. He pulled the table into the middle of the room. "Benny, see if you can find 6 chairs." Violet found some heavy white plates and set the table. Jesse cut the fish into 6 pieces before she cooked it. Then she put it in a big pan. For the first time in many days, they all sat down on real chairs to eat a meal at their own table. When they had finished supper, there was no food left at all. Before long, the dishes were washed, the beds were made, and everything was ready for the night. But it was not yet dark. "Let's go out and sit on the front steps," said Jesse. "We don't want to go to bed yet." The family went through the little house and sat down on the wooden steps. A soft wind was blowing through the trees. Soon a toad hopped out from under the steps.
"He lives there," said Benny. "I like to have toads living under our steps."
"They come out at night," said Joe. "They catch bugs."
"You know, I feel as if something will happen soon," said Violet slowly. Alice turned to look at her. "That's funny, Violet," she said. "I feel as if we had done this before, almost as if we had a clue and didn't know it."
Joe surprised them all by saying, "I feel that way too." Chapter 13, The Tin Box Again. The next day, the children were up early. They had breakfast. They made their beds.
"We ought to go down to see Rita the first thing we do," said Violet. "We were not very polite to her yesterday. All we could think of was Benny."
"Very well," said Alice, laughing. She sat down at the kitchen table. "You 4 go to Rita's, and Joe and I will write a letter to your grandfather." So the 4 children went down the road. Rita came out when she saw them coming. She began at once to show Violet what to do next on the basket.
"This will be just a small basket," she said. "You can make them as big as you want to."
When Violet finished her basket, Benny said,
"That's very pretty, Violet. You can give it to Grandfather."
"So I can," said Violet, very much pleased. "He likes things we make. Now we must pay for it, Henry."
"You have paid for it already," said Rita, smiling.
"The big boy paid me for the basket and the lesson and the trip into the woods. He really paid me too much." She looked at Benny and took hold of his hands.
"Don't you run away again, little boy. You make too much trouble for the hermit."
"For the hermit," cried Jesse. "It was more trouble for us."
"No," said Rita, shaking her head. "Dave Hunter was upset. I could see he liked Benny. It is the first time he has said more than 1 word at a time. My father says he was a very nice young man once. He built that house you are staying in."
"He did?" cried Henry.
"Did he live there himself?"
"Oh, yes, many years ago. My father told me about it last night, after you found the little boy. He said Dave went away to work and stayed a long, long time. When he came back, he was different. He stayed in his little house for about a week, and one night some mean-looking men came to see him. They had a fight, and then they went away and left Dave alone. In a few days, Dave went into the woods and built his cabin, and he has stayed there ever since. He wouldn't ever talk." As the excited children started back to Old Village, Benny said,
"Jesse, Jesse, maybe Dave Hunter is Bill."
"Why do you say that, young fellow?" asked Henry.
"Well, Bill could build houses. He built the little yellow house on Surprise Island. And he built the little house here in Old Village."
"Maybe you're right, Benny," said Jesse in excitement.
What would we ever do without you? Let's see what Joe and Alice think. Joe and Alice had finished their letter when the children rushed in and began to tell their story.
So, Dave Hunter built this house, did he? Said Joe. That must have been a long time ago, for it's an old house.
Joe, Joe, I have an idea, cried Henry. Look around you at this house. Now, all of you, pretend for a minute you're in the little yellow house on Surprise Island. He pointed around him as he went on. There's the fireplace of the little yellow house, and there's the door, and there's the window.
Of course, said Violet. There's the bedroom. And there's the kitchen, yelled Benny. I guess Bill could just build one kind of house.
Why, this old house is exactly the same as the little yellow house, cried Jessie. The same front door with two windows on one side and one on the other.
The same chimney, shouted Benny.
And the same front steps, said Alice slowly. Last night, I felt as if I were sitting on the steps of the little yellow house.
So that's what it was, cried Joe. I felt that way, too. We sat there so many times after supper on our wedding trip. They all looked at each other.
Now, let's see how this was, Henry said excitedly. Bill lived here first. Then he went to work for great-grandfather Alden. Then he married Mrs. McGregor, and they lived on Surprise Island, where he took care of the horses.
They lived in the little yellow house, said Benny.
That's right, said Henry. He built it, Grandfather said, with the help of his brother.
Oh, that brother Sam, cried Joe. He was not much good. I think Sam is the clue to this mystery.
So do I, said Henry.
Remember, Bill sold two racehorses and went away without giving Mr. Alden the money.
Now we're getting somewhere, said Joe. That's why Bill disappeared.
But why didn't he let his wife know where he was all those years? Asked Violet gently. He loved Margaret.
I don't know, said Henry. That's the mystery.
Maybe his brother wouldn't give the money back, and Bill wouldn't go home without it.
Then Violet said softly,
Joe?
What is it? Asked Joe quickly.
Do you suppose Bill's brother hid the money in this house?
Maybe, said Joe, thinking, but it's not a yellow house.
Of course he did, said Benny. That's why Bill took the rowboat that night and came up here. I bet those mean-looking men were the friends, and they were looking for the money, too. Remember? Rita said they had a fight.
Good, Benny, said Joe. I guess they tried to make Bill give them the money, and Bill couldn't find it himself.
And there's the mystery all solved, said Alice, laughing.
Well, said Henry, I'm sure now that Dave Hunter is Bill. But where's the money? And where's the tin box?
Let's hunt, said Benny.
How about the chimney?
Not the chimney, said Henry. Bill would have found the money if it were in the chimney.
That's right, Benny answered.
Not much to see, said Jessie. A chest and a few chairs and our cots.
Do you think we ought to talk with the hermit, Joe? Asked Henry.
No, not yet, answered Joe. I don't think he would talk.
Well, I'm not going to sit here, said Benny. Let's do something.
Okay, said Henry, getting up. We can hunt for clues in the chest. There might be a secret drawer in it.
Let me see, began Jessie.
The chest has three drawers. Joe and Alice can look in one drawer, Henry and Benny in another, and Violet and I in the third. Soon the whole family was busy. First they took the old dusty papers out of the drawers. They tapped each drawer, hunting for a secret drawer. They found nothing but dust.
Oh, hum, said Benny. What shall we do now, Jesse? Oh, I'm sure I don't know, cried Jesse. Everyone looked at her. You're not cross, are you, Jesse? Asked Benny. Jesse laughed a little. Maybe I am, she said. I did hope we would find the money in that chest, but we tapped every drawer. There is no secret drawer there. Let's go outdoors and sit on the steps. The family went outdoors slowly and sat down on the steps. Nobody said a word. Jesse was not often cross. Pretty soon Benny said, I wonder where the toad is. I suppose he stays under the steps. Alice smiled at Benny, but nobody felt like answering him. Benny went on. Does a toad have a house? What kind of a house does he live in, Jesse? Oh, Benny, I don't know. I'm so tired. You want to know everything. Why do you want to ask about toads now, when we want to find a tin box? She almost laughed. Never mind, Jesse, said Benny quickly. I'll look for myself. The little boy got down on his hands and knees. Soon he was lying on the ground, looking under the steps with one eye. I can see him. He's just sitting there. He winked at me. Benny picked up a long stick. Don't hurt the toad, Benny, said Joe. Oh, no. I'm just going to see how big his room is. Benny began to move the stick from one side to the other. Then he crawled quietly to the back of the steps where there was a big hole under the house. The toad jumped through the hole and Benny followed him. Everyone had to smile. They knew that Benny was crawling under the house. Soon they heard him talking to himself. Here's a pretty white stone, he was saying. And here's an old tin can. Here's a screwdriver. Not a bad screwdriver. Then he was silent, but the others could hear him crawling around under the house. Never mind, Jesse, said Joe with a smile. He's having fun. Children forget things very soon, you know. Then they heard Benny say, Well, here's the toad. Hello, toad. Where do you live? He seems to be having quite a talk with the toad, said Henry, laughing. Benny went on. Do you live in that old wooden box under the house? That's funny. It's open in the back instead of the front. Do you go in the back door? Why do you do that? Well, well. Ho, hum! Henry, there's a tin box here! What? Shouted Henry, almost falling down the steps. I found it, yelled Benny. A tin box sitting right in a wooden box. The whole family was down on the grass looking under the steps. You come out, Benny, shouted Joe. Bring the box. We can see better out here. I was coming anyway, said Benny. He came crawling as fast as he could through the hole. He pushed the tin box ahead of him and came out from under the steps. Sure enough, cried Jesse. It is a tin box. I can hardly believe it. Now I only hope there is something in it. There is, said Benny. I shook it. The excited children sat back and looked at the box. You open it, Henry, said Benny. It's too hard for me. Henry's hands shook as he pulled the box open. There, before their eyes, were piles of green bills. Dollar bills, Benny whispered. No, Benny, they are $100 bills, said Henry. I never saw one before. Let's count them, cried Benny. You count, Benny. You found them, said Jesse in a kind voice. Benny was so excited he could hardly count straight. At last he said, That's 40, and that's all. How much is 40 $100 bills, Henry?
$4,000, young fellow, said Henry. Isn't that what two racehorses would be worth, Joe? Just about, said Joe.
Boy, oh boy, cried Benny.
He was all tired out with excitement. They all looked at each other. Then they looked at the tin box and the pile of green bills. "Well, Joe," said Henry at last, "where do we go from here?" "I think," answered Joe, "that when we get rested, we'd better go and see the hermit."
"The hermit is Dave Hunter, and Dave Hunter is Bill," said Benny.
"I think so, too," said Joe with a smile. "But even now, maybe he won't talk." Jessie put her arm around her little brother.
"I'm awfully sorry I was cross, Benny," she said. "It's lucky you do want to know everything. If you hadn't looked in the Toad's house, we would never have found the tin box."
Chapter 14. The Hermit. Right away, the children wanted to go to see Rita again. Leaving the money in the tin box in the kitchen cupboard, the whole family almost ran up the road.
"We want to go into the woods again, Rita," Jessie called. "We want to talk with Dave Hunter. Do you think we could find our way alone?"
"Of course you can," said Rita. "But Dave won't talk."
"Maybe he will talk to Benny," said Jessie.
"Well, maybe," said Rita. "He did before."
The family started down the path through the woods. When they came to the cabin, they saw the hermit walking towards his house with a pail of water. He stopped when he saw the visitors. Then he went right on again.
"Dave?"
called Henry kindly. But the hermit started to go up the steps to his cabin. Then Benny called out in his loudest voice, "Bill!" The pail went rolling down the steps as the old man stopped. He sat down and put his head in his hands. But Benny seemed to know just what to do, and nobody stopped him. He ran over and sat down beside the old man and put his hand on his arm.
"Oh, Bill," he said, "don't worry. We've come to take you home."
"Home?" said Bill.
He lifted his head and looked at Benny.
"I can never go home, little boy."
He looked at the others as they waited on the path.
"Oh, yes, you can, Bill," cried Benny. "Grandfather wants you to come home, and so does Mrs. McGregor."
"Mrs. McGregor?"
said Bill in a whisper. Then nobody could believe what happened next. Violet went quickly over to the steps and took the old man's hand.
"He means Margaret," she said.
He looked down at the pretty little girl.
"Margaret is dead," said Bill.
"No, Margaret is alive," said Violet.
"They told me she was dead," said Bill. "They said there was a fire, and the barn burned, and Margaret died trying to save the horses."
"Oh, that isn't true at all, Bill," cried Benny. "We lived in that barn all last summer, and Mrs. McGregor is the housekeeper at my grandfather's house."
"I can't go home," said Bill quietly. "I can't find the money. I took Mr. Alden's money."
"We found the money," said Violet gently.
"Where?" asked the old man.
"In a tin box under the steps of the house," answered Violet.
"In a tin box."
"That's right," Bill said.
"Oh, dear. Oh, dear."
Then Joe came up to the steps. He said, "Mr. McGregor, everything will be all right again, believe me. Your wife is alive and wants to see you. We just found the money today." Then he turned to the children. "I'm afraid Bill is getting very tired," he said to them. "He is having too much excitement after 40 years. Do you think you can walk to Old Village, Mr. McGregor?" The old man looked at Joe's kind face.
"Yes, I can, if all this story is true."
"I promise you it is," said Joe. Then he said to the children,
Don't ask him anything more until we get him home. But he is Bill all right. Benny would not let go of Bill's hand. He led him carefully along the path, stopping to show him every stone. "I've seen every stone on this path for many years, little boy," said Bill. But they all knew that he liked to have Benny help him. They took him to the little house that he had built himself. Alice made him lie down on one of the cots, and Jesse put something soft under his head. Joe rushed over to Jim's place and soon came back with a cup of hot tea. "Drink this," he said. "It will make you feel better." Bill drank the tea, and before anyone knew it, he had fallen asleep.
"He's tired out," said Violet in a whisper. "And so thin. He looks as if he didn't have enough to eat. Almost starving." "We'll soon fix that," whispered Jesse with a smile. "He'll have enough to eat if he lives with us." The family went into the kitchen. They shut the door softly.
"Won't Grandfather be surprised," said Henry.
"And Mrs. McGregor," said Violet.
"I'm surprised myself," said Joe. "I thought Bill was dead for sure."
Jesse said, "Wasn't it queer how Benny got him to talk all of a sudden, just because he called him Bill?"
"Bill must have felt funny to be talking after 40 years, said Benny. "I couldn't stop talking for 40 years.
"I hope you won't, Benny," laughed Alice. "We love to hear you talk."
"When Bill wakes up, we must give him something to eat," said Jesse. "I think I'll run over to Jim's place and see what he has."
"Let me go with you," said Alice. "We can go out the back door."
The two girls went across the road and found Jim in his kitchen, stirring something on the back of his stove. It was soup, and it smelled delicious. Jim turned around quickly and asked,
"Wasn't that the hermit I saw with you?"
"Yes, it was," said Jesse. "His real name is Bill McGregor, and he used to work for our great-grandfather."
"I thought something was queer about him," cried Jim. "People used to say that little house was Bill McGregor's place. Then one day, Dave Hunter came to Old Village and said it was his. He said he was a cousin of Bill's. But he wouldn't live in the house. He told me to use it for campers, and he built himself his cabin."
"Well," said Alice, "he says he is Bill McGregor now."
"He talks, does he?" asked Jim. "I can hardly believe it. Must seem strange. He's a nice, gentle old man. I always was sorry for him. I always tried to feed him up when he came out of the woods."
"That's what we came for," said Jesse. "Something to feed to him. That hot soup would be just the thing."
"Jesse!" Benny called from across the road. "Bill's awake and he's hungry."
"Take some bread and butter, too," said Jim with a laugh. "That'll do him good."
Alice and Jesse hurried back. Bill was sitting up in a chair. He looked rested. Jesse put a little table in front of him and set down the hot soup and a plate of bread and butter. Bill ate as if he were half starved.
"You don't look as thin as you did, Bill," said Benny. "A little fatter."
Everyone laughed, even Bill himself.
"I don't think he grew very fat on one bowl of soup," said Jesse.
"But you do look better, Bill, sure enough."
"I feel better," said the old man, looking into the girl's kind face.
Then he looked around at the other friendly faces. They were all smiling at him.
"I suppose Mrs. McGregor won't know you," said Benny.
"I will know her," said Bill, "even if she is old."
"She might like you better without your long beard," said Benny.
"Shh, Benny," said Jesse.
But Bill's feelings were not hurt. He even laughed a little.
"My beard can be cut off," he said. "Then I will look like Bill McGregor instead of an old hermit."
"Jesse," said Benny all of a sudden, "where did you get that soup? I'm awfully hungry."
"What do you know?" cried Henry. "It's long past noon, and we were so excited we forgot our own dinner."
"Don't worry," said Jesse, getting up at once. "We'll soon fix that."
Chapter 15. Starting for Home.
The family sat down on the steps the next morning after breakfast.
I want to go home, said Benny suddenly.
We all want to go home, said Henry. But how can we? We can't take Bill in a canoe. 4 people are too many.
We'll have to get to Mr. Long's store some way, said Jesse. If only we had our station wagon.
Let's wait a little while, said Joe. Maybe something will happen. He winked at Alice.
Benny rushed over to Joe and shook his shoulder. What are you winking at Alice for? He cried.
Don't you wish you knew, teased Joe. He rolled Benny over in the grass.
Get up and look what's coming, boys, called Alice. She pointed up the road. Coming around the corner was their very own station wagon.
It's the station wagon, shouted Benny. That's Mr. Long driving and his boy is with him.
Benny began to jump up and down. He waved with both hands. Mr. Long soon saw him, stopped at the little house and got out. He laughed to see the children so surprised.
You didn't hear us, did you? He said. Joe and I made a lot of plans up at my store that first day.
Henry, I was sure you heard us, said Joe, laughing. I had just asked Mr. Long to meet us here in 6 days when you suddenly came around the corner.
No, I didn't hear a word, said Henry, smiling. But Mr. Long came on the right day. We do want to go home.
I never thought I would want this trip to end, said Violet. But now I want to get home to see Grandfather. And we all want to get Bill home to Mrs. McGregor.
Don't tell me you have found Bill, said Mr. Long, much surprised.
Oh, yes, said Benny. Remember Dave Hunter the Hermit?
Yes, said Mr. Long. You mean he is Bill? Jesse said, yes, and it's going to be a big surprise for Mrs. McGregor.
Joe, shouldn't we send a telegram to Grandfather?
Good for you, Jesse, said Joe. We'll do that just as soon as we can find a place.
Come on, shouted Benny. Let's go.
The little house was soon full of people rushing around, rolling up bedrolls. They put things into the back of the station wagon while Jim packed a big lunch for them to eat on the way home. Jesse took the money out of the tin box and put it carefully into her handbag. I'll take care of this, she said.
We carry that money around as if it were just pieces of old paper, said Violet, laughing.
It is, said Benny, as he carried his bedroll to the station wagon.
Why not let me cut off that long beard before you go, Mr. McGregor? Asked Jim when he came over with the lunch. I can cut it for you.
How do you feel about it, Bill? Asked Joe. Do you want it off?
Of course I do, said Bill. Don't you remember? I said I would look more like Bill McGregor.
So the family all watched Jim as he cut off Bill's long beard, then shaved him.
What a change, said Joe. You certainly look fine, Bill.
A fine-looking man, said Jim. Look at yourself, Mr. McGregor.
Yes, you've got a nice smooth face, said Benny. Mrs. McGregor will like you better this way.
Oh, dear, said Jesse suddenly. We forgot all about the 2 canoes. We can't leave them here.
Yes, you can, said Mr. Long. That's why I brought my boy with me. We can paddle them back. Don't worry about the canoes or the tents. We'll take them with us.
Benny took Bill's hand and said, You'll be surprised, Bill, when you see where Mrs. McGregor lives. Grandfather's big house is very nice.
Bill smiled at the little boy. I know that house very well, he said.
What are you going to do about this house, Dave? Bill, I mean, asked Jim Carr. And your cabin in the woods.
You can have them both, said Bill quietly. You were always very kind to me and gave me things to eat when I didn't even say thank you.
That's all right, said Jim. And thank you. Nobody ever gave me 2 houses in 1 day.
At last everything was ready. Bill sat in front with Benny and Joe, who was going to drive. Alice and Violet sat behind them. Henry and Jesse sat on the back seat.
"Now we're really going home," shouted Benny. "We did find Bill, and we did find the money, Joe. Won't Grandfather be glad?" Joe turned the station wagon around, and the children waved goodbye until they were out of sight of Old Village. "Little boy," said Bill suddenly, "how much money was in that tin box?"
"It was all $100 bills," said Benny, "and it was $4,000 in all."
$4,000, said Bill in great excitement. "That's exactly right. Who did you say put it there?"
"We aren't sure," said Joe kindly. "You must tell us that."
"I'm afraid it was my own brother Sam," Bill told them sadly. "I understand the whole thing now."
"Tell us," begged Jesse. "Tell us everything you know."
"Well," began Bill in a weak voice, "did you hear about the horses? I sold 2 fine racehorses for Mr. Alden."
"He was not our grandfather," said Jesse. "That Mr. Alden is dead."
"Oh, dear, I suppose so," said Bill. "He is Mr. Alden to me, because I worked for him. Your grandfather is James Alden. Well, my brother Sam told me to give him the money, and he could make 3 times as much. So I gave it to him."
"That was when you lived on the island?" said Henry.
"Yes. He told me not to say a word, but to come to Maine, and soon I could come home with a lot of money to pay Mr. Alden."
"And what did you do next?" asked Alice.
"I came up here to meet my brother," said Bill. "And then I heard he was killed by a car. I hunted all over my house for a tin box, but I never could find it. His friends didn't know where it was, so I shut up my little yellow house and went to live in the woods."
"Yellow? You mean your yellow house on Surprise Island?" asked Henry, wondering.
"No, I mean my yellow house right here in Old Village."
"But the house we were in is brown, Bill," Jesse told him kindly.
"Well, yes, my dear," said Bill, almost whispering. "It is brown now, but it used to be yellow. It has been painted since then."
Chapter 16, A Happy Home. The family had not gone very far when suddenly Joe stopped the car by the side of the road. "What's the matter?" asked Henry.
"Bill's getting too tired," answered Joe quietly. "This is all too much of a change for him. I'm going to fix a bed on the back seat so he can lie down." Benny looked up at Bill and saw that it was true. The old man was very white, and his hands were shaking.
"Oh, dear," said Jesse. "We talked to him too much. He isn't used to it."
She and Alice helped Joe make a soft bed of blankets on the back seat. Bill did not say a word. Joe and Henry took his arms and helped him out of the front seat and into the back. Bill laid down at once and shut his eyes, as if he were very glad to lie down. The 3 girls took the middle seat, and Henry got up in front beside Benny. "He'll be all right," said Joe, looking back at Bill. "You can talk all you want to. I think he'll sleep."
"Let's send that telegram to Grandfather at the next village," said Jesse.
"What shall we say?"
10 words," said Benny.
"No, you can send 15," said Henry. "Let's make up a telegram as we ride. We should certainly begin, 'Found Bill and the money.'"
5 words," said Violet, counting.
"All coming home today," said Jesse. "That's 4 more, 9 so far."
"Then we can have 6 more words," said Benny. "We ought to say, 'We may be late for supper.'"
"We certainly will be late for supper," said Joe.
Then Alice said, "Benny, don't you think we should say something about Bill like weak and tired? Then Mrs. McGregor won't expect the big, strong man who used to lift the boat."
Benny counted on his fingers for a few minutes. Then he cried,
"We can say it this way. 'Found Bill and money. Bill very weak. All coming home today late for supper. Hello.'"
"Wonderful, Benny," said Joe, laughing. "Your grandfather will know you made up that telegram for sure. I always like to say hello at the end of a telegram."
Henry said, "Now, Benny, don't forget what you said. Keep saying it over and over until we come to a village." This gave Benny something to do. When they did stop at a village, he could remember every word. As the girl wrote down the telegram, Jesse cried, "Henry, let's say it's from the boxcar children." The girl stopped writing and looked up in surprise. "Are you the four children who lived in a boxcar?" she asked.
"Yes, we did," said Benny. "We had fun."
"And you found your grandfather at last," she cried. She looked from one smiling face to another. "I read about you in the paper, but I never expected to see you."
"This telegram is to our grandfather," said Benny. "And you can say it's from the boxcar children and Alice and Joe. He'll know."
"Yes, I guess he will," laughed the girl. "I'll send it right off. It will get to him in an hour." "Fine," said Henry, paying for the telegram. "Now, let's get on our way." Bill was still asleep when they got into the station wagon again. He was still asleep at lunchtime. They did not wake him for lunch. "He needs sleep more than food now," said Joe. "I do hope he isn't sick," said Alice in a worried voice.
"I don't think he is," said Joe. "I think he's had just too much excitement. It is such a change from not talking at all."
"It shows us we'll have to be very careful of Bill," said Jesse. "But I can hardly wait to ask him the end of that story." Bill slept almost all the afternoon. As they came near home, they had to wake him up. When they drove up to the door of their grandfather's house, Bill was sitting up very straight. Mr. Alden was sitting on the porch in a big chair. Beside him was Mrs. McGregor. They were waiting. Bill leaned forward to look.
"It's my Margaret,"
he said, almost crying.
"She has the same beautiful blue eyes."
Joe and Henry helped the old man out of the car and up the steps.
"Bill,"
cried Margaret. She put both arms around him and led him to her chair.
"It's all right, Bill. It's all right," she said over and over.
Just then there was a very loud noise from upstairs. It seemed to come from Jesse's room. It was Watch. He came rushing down the stairs and out of the door, barking and barking. He could not believe that his four children had come back to him again. At last he lay down by Jesse's feet, tired out. "Now I guess he will eat his meals," said Mr. Alden. "As for Mrs. McGregor, she hasn't eaten a good meal since you all went away."
Benny said, "I think it's funny. We have so many people that can't eat. I don't have any trouble eating my meals."
"Now that we're all together again, Benny," said Grandfather, laughing, "everyone will be all right. I think I shall eat better myself. We have things for supper that you like best. There is hamburger for you. Bill always liked fish best, and that's what he'll have. There's ham for Joe and apple pie for Jesse."
"No pie for me?"
asked Benny, taking his grandfather's hand.
"What do you think?" teased his grandfather. "I don't believe anyone will go hungry tonight."
It was wonderful to see Bill eat. With his Margaret beside him again, he seemed like a different man.
"I feel better and better," he said.
After supper, the family sat again on the porch.
"Joe," whispered Benny, "couldn't we talk to Bill now? He seems all right to me."
"You can try," said Joe. "We'll soon see how he takes it. We can stop if he gets too upset." Benny went over then to Bill and Margaret. He put his hand over Bill's.
"We want to ask you just a few more things, Bill," he said. "Are you too tired?"
"No, little boy," said Bill.
I don't think I shall ever be tired again. Ask me anything you want. Benny looked at Joe. Joe smiled back at him. Then Benny said,
We want to know something more about your brother. How was he going to make the money three times as much?
I didn't know myself at first, answered Bill. But later I found out he was going to give it to some friends of his to bet on the horse races.
Oh, but he might have lost it all, cried Henry.
Yes, I know that now, said Bill. His friends were bad people, I'm afraid. Sam would have been all right if his friends had let him alone, but he always did what they said, and I always did what my brother Sam said. He looked around sadly. One night, after Sam was killed, these men came up to Maine. They hunted all over my house, but they couldn't find the money. I didn't know where the tin box was myself, but they didn't believe me. They tried to make me tell, and we had a great fight. But at last they went away, and I never saw them again.
Were they the ones who told you the barn was burned? Asked Mr. Alden.
Yes. They didn't want me to go home and tell all I knew, so they told me Margaret was dead.
I suppose that finished you, said Benny.
Bill smiled at him. Yes, that finished me. I didn't want to live any more without Margaret, and I didn't want to see people. Besides, I couldn't come home without the money, so I went into the deep woods to live alone forever.
Oh, I'm so glad we found you, said Jessie suddenly. Supposing we had never asked to go into the little yellow house on Surprise Island. Now you and Mrs. McGregor can live right here in her rooms, can't they, Grandfather?
If her rooms are big enough, said Mr. Alden.
Three rooms ought to be big enough for two people, said Mrs. McGregor happily.
I can help with the horses, said Bill. Do you still have horses?
Yes, we have two, answered Mr. Alden. But you will rest a long time before doing any work.
Darkness began to fall. The birds began to sing their evening songs. The family sat quietly for a minute and listened.
Then Violet said, Isn't this a happy house, Alice? You and Joe so happy on the top floor. And Bill and Mrs. McGregor will be in their own little rooms, cried Benny.
Don't forget us, said Henry, with our mystery all solved and getting back to Grandfather.
And we'll all go and live in the little yellow house on Surprise Island every summer, said Benny.
Hold on, my boy, not so fast, said Mr. Alden. That's Bill's house.
Oh, so it is, said Benny. Well, then, he and Mrs. McGregor can live in it every summer, and we can go over to see them.
Well, we'll see, said Mr. Alden with a smile.
Violet suddenly put her hand on her grandfather's knee and looked up into his kind face. She could not see very well, for it had grown quite dark, but she knew he was smiling at her.
Grandfather, she asked, couldn't you use some of that money to fix up the little yellow house on Surprise Island? It is so dusty, and the chairs are so old.
A fine idea, said Mr. Alden, taking her small hand in his big one. We could buy a lot of chairs with that money. And by the way, where is the money?
Right here, said Jessie at once.
She took it out of her handbag and gave it to Mr. Alden.
Maybe Bill and I could paper and paint the rooms before school begins, said Henry. Oh, we could all paint, shouted Benny, jumping around. Let's paint the outside, too. That would be fun, said Alice. Joe and I could help you every day after work on the cave.
Right now you children have something new to think about, said Joe. We will take a lunch over every day and work until we get the house all fixed up.
Violet sat down beside her grandfather in his great chair.
He moved over quickly to make room for her and put his arm around her.
"I'm glad the little yellow house isn't a sad place to you anymore, Grandfather," she said, leaning her head back against his arm. "It's going to be a happy place again."
"We'll still paint it yellow," said Benny. "Ho hum!"
"What does ho hum mean this time, Ben?" asked Henry, laughing at his little brother. Mrs. McGregor answered, smiling at Bill, "To me it means, thank you, children." Mr. Alden said, "To me it means, I'm very glad you are all at home again."
"Well," said Benny, "what I really mean is that I can hardly wait until tomorrow to paint that little yellow house."